Welcome to Media Day here at Portland International Raceway. This is your host, Mike Jokum from Pit Lane Parlay, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's a bit loud here, so hopefully this turns out well, and we will see. Good afternoon. First, we're joined by Felix Rosenquist here in Portland. Felix raced here, in 2019?
Yeah.
So coming back, first time after a little bit of a layoff, how are you feeling going into the weekend?
Good. It feels nice to have this triple header out there on the West Coast. You know, we've been testing at Portland previously this year, so, you know, particularly excited to go here. I think we might have, you know, it's so tight these days, but we might have a small advantage on some other teams coming here. Had pretty good success last time I was here with a podium, so yeah, good memories from this track. It's a good place to be.
So I think your teammate Pato said that the test went really well for you guys. Did you find something that previously the team might have been lacking on a course like Portland on these natural road courses to help heading into this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think we rolled off pretty well in the test, but we definitely found a good direction that worked for both of us, so yeah, pretty exciting. You know, it's not every time you go somewhere you actually find something that's better. So, you know, you always take any gain you can find. But, yeah, I think we have a pretty solid package going in here.
We've got a triple header to round out the season. Is it fun to end the season with just boom, 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 or would you like to space it out a little bit more?
No, I think it's good. I mean, whenever you get the chance to race, I'm down. So I don't mind having as many races as possible in a row. So, yeah, I think it's good.
Well, best of luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Joined next by Scott McLaughlin. Let's start with the hard-hitting question. You did fantasy football draft a week or so ago. How do you feel about your team heading into the season?
Right now, terrible, because I just watched Zeke go terrible, and Greg the Leg killed me. So, nah, he was all right. He actually come back and helped me a bit. But, yeah, not feeling good. Long season. Hoping for a couple of wins and make those playoffs.
How do you feel about your new Carolina Panthers heading into their season in a couple days here?
No, I'm excited. I think we've got pretty good defense, and then the Darnold coming on board for the offense. I think it's going to be exciting for, you know, see how he goes against the Jets for the first round, the first week. But yeah, I'm a diehard Panthers fan now and loving it. And yeah, I really think we can be a semi-dark horse for this year, maybe squeeze our way into a wild card.
So I think if the Panthers win a Super Bowl, you should get a Carolina Panthers tattoo.
Yep. Yeah, it's just to figure out where it is. Yeah. But yeah,
so I'll leave that up to you and your wife.
I'll probably, like, when my AFL team, the Western Bulldogs, won the grand final in, like, 3 years ago, it was probably one of the greatest days of my sporting life. And that's, like, up there with my Bathurst wins and championship wins as well. So it was awesome.
All right, I guess we should talk a little bit of racing here. But so you're heading into Portland, you got a triple header, you're a little bit up on the Rookie of the Year standings. Does it add a little bit of fun in a way to be battling for Rookie of the Year with three races to go, make it a little more intense out there?
Yeah, certainly. I could have helped my cause a little bit if I had a better Indy and whatever, but you know, that's how the cookie crumbled. And at the end of the day, it's kind of fun that we, like you said, we're going to be even. Semi-even for these next three races, so it's just going to be a pure performance thing, and I'm really excited for that. I think it's going to be fun, something different, and certainly a guy that with the amount of experience he has in open wheelers, like if I can be somewhere near where he is, I know it's somewhere near the front, because he's been at the front all year. He's been a stellar driver. He's got a new deal for a reason, and I'm excited to just battle with him. He's turned into a good friend, and really enjoying the battles with him.
How do you feel about Portland this weekend? You got to test here, right?
No, I haven't tested.
Okay.
Yet. No. I tested at Laguna.
Okay.
Yeah. But feel good. Haven't seen much of the track, but sometimes that's a good thing, because you can sort of come in and not have any preconceived ideas and stuff. So, yeah, feeling good.
Have the teammates given you any advice heading into a track you haven't tested at?
Yeah, a little bit, but we've sort of just done our own thing on the sim with the COVID restrictions and stuff. But you know, eventually after practice one, we'll have a good feeling where we're at and see where we're at.
Awesome, man. Well, best of luck.
Thank you.
Joined next by Oliver Askew, racing the last three races for Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan. Do you feel these last three races like a tryout or more of a, I know what's coming and I'm just going to focus forward?
I think for the team, yes, it seems like a tryout. But for myself, I'm only focused on doing the best I can, and whatever happens after that is out of my control, right? So No, I'm really looking forward to this opportunity. I think these next couple of tracks are tracks that I really enjoy, and I've actually never been to Long Beach before, actually, at least race around there, and I'm really looking forward to going there. The simulator experience at HPD there was really enjoyable, and I have always wanted to race there, so it's going to be cool.
So you raced here in Indy Lights, I think. Does that give you any sort of confidence going into this weekend? Because I know you didn't race here last year. So you have an idea of kind of what to expect, what you want the car to be like?
I think so, yeah. That was obviously a long time ago, and I don't remember so much from that weekend. I know where the lefts and rights are and have a good understanding for what I need to do to get the most out of the car here and in the circuit. So I hope that comes in handy. Obviously, there's no substitute for, you know, testing here in the IndyCar. I did have a test here with Ganassi at the end of 19, but it was my first day in the IndyCar, and I really don't remember anything from that. So, we'll see. Just need to get out there and get a good feel for it.
Have you had some time to talk to either of your teammates about, you know, the Ray Hall car in general or about this track, or, you know, any sort of advice they've been able to give over the last couple weeks since the deal got announced?
Not so much. I did get a test day at Barber, which went really well. I feel the car is very comfortable to drive, and I hope that translates to this track. Not so many comments from Taku or Graham right now, but I'm sure as we get to work tomorrow, I think, the dialogue will open up a little bit.
So lastly, I know you also got to test a Ganassi DPI car a couple weeks ago or a month ago or so. What was that experience like?
It was good. That car is really, really fun to drive. I've never driven a car with, like, proper traction control before, and it already has a lot of traction and squat to begin with, you know, with that very torquey V8. It was really, really good fun, especially coming from that IMSA weekend, so the track was still gripped up. So, I enjoyed it. I only got it about an hour and a half in the car, but, I hope to get some more DPI experience in the future.
If things don't lead to a full IndyCar season next year, would you be open to running some sort of IMSA program as well?
Yes. The goal next year is to land somewhere full-time and hopefully, you know, in a multi-year situation. So, that's what I need in my career right now, both to build on, have something to build on for the future. You know, I can't keep jumping around from team to team because it's a lot harder to execute that way, right? So, yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, best of luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We're joined now by Jack Harvey. I did watch the first Harry Potter, so my assignment is done. You're at Portland. This is your second time, third time here? So you've got some experience here. How do you feel heading into the last third of the season?
I feel good. You know, honestly, I think this feels like kind of the season coming to a close, obviously just because we're on the West Coast. It's three races back-to-back all on this side of America. And, it is a track we've gone well at in the past. We have never had the end result in Portland that we hoped for. You know, but certainly I feel like we've run, you know, top five a lot of times we've been here. So, honestly, I'm excited for the weekend. And I think, you know, everyone at Myershank Racing can be, you know, optimistic about what we think we can achieve. We tested here. That went well. Personally, I feel hungrier than ever to try and, you know, finish the season on a good note, because, you know, running out of races, you know, together with the team to try and do it together. So, obviously we're optimistic that the number 60 Auto Nation SiriusXM Honda is going to have a good weekend.
Is it bittersweet to be heading into your, you know, three weekends in a row, so before you know it, it's going to be done, and then your Myershank portion of your career will be over? Is it bittersweet heading into this weekend?
Maybe not yet. I mean, you know, to be honest, we're coming to the guys, you know, today, and, you know, it's almost as if nothing is changing, you know. That's the level of, the relationship I have with, the guys and girls on the team, but also, you know, on a broader way, the organization that, you know, Myershank Racing has become. And, you know, I'm very proud of my involvement and where the team started when we came together versus where the team is now. You know, to have been a part of that is really, really cool. And I think Long Beach will probably be the one where you realize you're probably not going to get to do it again for a while. And, you know, obviously never say never, as they say. But I think the overwhelming feeling right now is, you know, one of just hunger and desire. Like, I want to get a result with this team now. I don't want to look back and go, well, we didn't, or we missed it, and we're running out of chances. So honestly, the only thing that we should all be worried about right now is how we get it done. And honestly, that fire should be burning in our bellies to try and get it.
I like
it. It's a bit like Harry's desire to get rid of Voldemort.
I like the tie in there. I will watch the second one at some point.
Did you not just feel like magical? Did you not just like wish that you were getting a letter?
I really did enjoy.
You're Slytherin.
I don't know. I have to do one of those like Facebook quizzes where it tells you like which one you are, and I'll report back. I have no idea, but I did enjoy it when it was over. I was like, oh, it's over, and it was 2.5 hours long, but it was fun. I was like, oh, I probably should have listened to him like 6 months ago when he told me the first time, but I don't listen very well.
I'm picking up on that.
Okay, we'll wrap it up with one more question here and let you get on the afternoon. Your off season is approaching fast. When can people expect to hear about 2022?
I guess at the appropriate time, really. the only thing I'm really going to say about 2022 is, I'm really excited for the future, and I have been this whole time. And obviously, I probably wouldn't have decided to make a change without knowing that something was concrete and pretty solid, but such a balance right now, because we are excited about the future. That I can't hide that, and I never would, but we're very present on, we've still got races to do now, and right now I'm a Myshank Racing driver, and I want to give it 110, because that's how we've gone racing as a team from the get-go. So I'm sure everyone will find out about 22 soon, I hope. I don't know, not my decision, mate.
So, yeah, good luck. Hopefully by the time 2022 rolls around, I'll have at least 2 or 3 more Harry Potters done. And
I think that's fair. Like, one a month, I think, is a fair target.
So if Shannon's listening, because she's the one that keeps us on schedule here, I have to finish 2 or 3 more before next season starts.
I think that's fair.
Okay. Awesome, man. Well, best of luck.
Thanks, buddy.
Joined next by Dalton Kellett. Dalton, you had a very memorable Indy Lights experience here a couple years ago. After that, you got to race a little bit here. So how are you feeling heading into this weekend at Portland?
Well, I don't see any signboards out there yet, so it's a good start. We're looking forward to this weekend. This is a fun track. It's short. It's really intense. It'll be keeping your tires under you, having a good balance of those long racing corners is going to be really important. But feeling pretty optimistic. I think this will be a good track. Some of those concrete, maybe higher grip sections should be all right for us. And kind of excited for that, yeah.
So it's 110 laps, which is one of the longer road course races of the year. How do you balance speed versus, okay, I got to keep the tires under me, I got to worry about fuel? Where do you find that fine line at a track like this?
I mean, I think it comes down to your average pace and what your what pace you can run if you are saving fuel. So that's that kind of makes that decision as far as what strategy you end up on. It's a decent number to hit to make it a two-stop, and you'd have to be quite quick. And there's not really a lot of hard braking zones, so it really makes it tough to save fuel. If you can't really through those back and forth S's, it's just not the easiest place to save. So it would be pretty tough to make that work. But like I said, it just kind of comes down to your kind of average pace and what mileage you can hit.
And lastly, your teammates had success here in the past. Have you been able to glean any sort of advice from him heading into this weekend?
Yeah, we chatted a bit. I think from Seb, the big thing is going to be just kind of saving your tires and really trying to manage that throughout the race, especially if you do run longer on a stint. Kind of overheating and kind of abusing the tires initially is really going to come and bite you. I think that's going to be that's what he seems to be kind of focusing on. So that makes sense to me too, just given the geometry of the track and all that.
Awesome, man. Well, best of luck this weekend. Hope to see you out there in 22.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Joined next by Callum Eilat. Callum, first off, welcome to IndyCar. How's it feel to be here?
Pretty cool, I have to say. It's been an eventful couple weeks going back and from here. It's very relaxed, actually. Yeah. I'm not used to this. It's nice. The environment's good. Super chilled with the fans. So far enjoying it. But, the real stuff starts tomorrow.
So let's start with that. The paddock experience is obviously very different versus Formula One. Everybody's a little bit more relaxed. Fans are walking around everywhere. So is a little bit of an adjustment to get used to it being, coming from the Formula One, Formula Two side of things?
Yeah, but a good adjustment. Yeah. It's nice. Have to get not used to it, but just enjoy it in that sense. yeah, maybe I need to get a bit more familiar with some people out here. But, you know, it's good to meet a load of new people and get a new environment. Yeah, and, you know, the travelling is difficult for me. But, yeah, it's been really enjoyable. I spent a bit of time in LA, first time there, saw that before flying up here. So I can't complain at all.
Sounds pretty fun to me. So originally it was announced as a one-race deal. You know, we'll see how the rest goes. And then, you know, today came out, okay, it's, you know, you're doing the rest of the season. How did it go from, okay, you know, where did the contact with Junco start to do one race, and how quickly did it evolve to, you know what, let's just finish out the season and do the last three races?
So, I mean, I would say it was four weeks ago, Ricardo approached my manager to get in touch, and then the next day we were on a Zoom call because, you know, it's a great opportunity, and why would you say no? And that was for the one race, and very quickly, as soon as I made it to Indianapolis last week, it was like, look, I'm going to need you for the other two races. And I'm like, this is a bit tough. I've got some other stuff planned. And it wasn't like it was small grade stuff either. So it was Formula One tests and that. So, yeah, I had to make a few changes to get myself out here for that. And Tuesday I got the confirmation that I could do that. And, yeah, very quickly it was confirmed that I could do it. I think logistically it would have been quite painful for him because other people wouldn't have been able to make it either, so he was also pushing quite a lot for that. And it makes sense for the consistency side of things for me to continue off where we would leave from here, and you know, it's a great opportunity. I'm not going to complain at all about doing these three races. West Coast as well, lovely. It could be a bit warmer here, but also if it's too hot I might complain as well.
Yeah, listen, back in Philadelphia, it's been like 100 degrees for like 8 straight weeks, and I don't deal well in the heat. So like this right now, for those listening, it's like 65 degrees. It's beautiful.
It's between t-shirt and jacket weather.
Yeah, it's my if this was the weather all year, I would be much happier.
Yeah. Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.
But anyway, we'll move on and not talk about the weather here. So you had some things to clear up in your schedule. Were you supposed to do one of the Formula One tests coming up at, was it a practice, and were you able to get that push back to later in the Formula One season?
Can't give away too much because obviously it's on, kind of, yeah. I don't know if it's confidential or not, but yeah. Anyway, it's complicated. No, but from that side, yeah, it was a practice at one of the races, so FP1s, and then maybe some private stuff. But yeah, you know, it's. Either doing a race or doing a practice. I don't think my future next year is going to be within Formula One. It's not confirmed, but you know, I get the idea, and you know, I understand. So for me, it's good to explore other places as well. But you know, here I can't say is a bad place at all. Hearing what Roman has to say, what Marcus has to say, you know, it can be a very good opportunity. And to do it with a new team like Juncos Hollinger Racing and build up as a project with them, it's a good opportunity for me, it's a good opportunity for them. And I do want to see how it goes tomorrow and where we start from. But, you know, if we're a bit slower, we have more to build up from. If we start well, that's brilliant.
Awesome. Well, I'll wrap it up with one more question here so you can get on. Sure. Your first test in IndyCars at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Not many people can say that. How awesome was that? What was the experience like? And did it help at all heading into this weekend to get a feel for the car?
100% helped a lot. I mean, it was good. We ironed out quite a few issues that if we didn't get that test, we would have had here, and it would have been a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy that we got that, number one, for the car. Number two, for me to get the experience what I needed on a track that you can push quite a lot and get a feeling for the car. And then on another side, you know, it's a very good big track, very familiar from a Europe side of view as well. It's very similar to that. And yeah, great experience.
Awesome, man. Well, best of luck this weekend. Look forward to seeing you out there.
Thank you very much.
Next up, joined by championship leader Pato O'Ward. Just the word championship leader, how much does that mean heading into, you know, the final three races of the year?
To be fair, not so much, because man, it's three drivers within like 20 points, so I feel like there's truly three leaders. There's three heads on the chopping block when it comes to battles on track with guys that have not much to lose, and we're one of them. I think that's what this means the most to us, where we need to be smart, we need to be aware of who we're fighting, and just try and make the most of it. You know, we need to execute when qualifying comes, and then execute when the race comes, and I think in doing so we'll be in a good place into Long Beach.
So Felix mentioned your test here was pretty successful. Does that help you at least roll off the truck a little bit stronger come tomorrow, that you have an idea of what you want the car to be like?
Yeah, I mean, I think it should help us. I don't think it for sure tells us 100% if it's going to be the same, because it's going to be a lot colder. But I think it for sure helps us. And, you know, I think we're coming in a strong position where there's an opportunity, and we have to seize it.
Awesome. Well, let's wrap it up with one more here. I know you've had a bunch of interviews to do. You've raced here, at least in Indy Lights. You've raced at Laguna Indy Lights as well?
No, Pro Mazda.
So having some familiarity with the tracks helps, or does it make too much of a difference since it's a different car?
I mean, the Indy car is so much faster than all the other ones, so it only helps you to know where you're going. But braking markers and really getting the feel through the corners is completely different.
Awesome, man. Well, best of luck.
Thank you.
Joined next by Colton Herta. Colton, it's been a good season for the most part, but obviously not without some challenges. How would you describe your season with 13 of 16 done so far?
It's been disappointing at a lot of points, to be honest. But, you know, I think we're the best qualifying average.
Yeah.
I've had a whole bunch of front row starts, a couple poles. You know, taking that away, it's been nice. We definitely haven't executed in all the races. So that's a little bit disappointing. I feel like we should, you know, have a few more wins. But, unfortunately it didn't happen this year. So now I'm just kind of focused on winning race at the end of the year. Championship, I guess somebody told me I'm still mathematically in it. But, you know, it's a long shot. So now I just have to try to win three races here. So, and that's the goal.
So, you know, not worrying about points so much and just going for pure speed and wins, is it a little bit less stressful because you're not worried about a point here or there, or still the same?
I mean, you still want to win. Like, you still put pressure on yourself, I guess, to do that and try to, you know, make everything go better into next year. And in these three weekends, right, we haven't raced with the aero screen on our cars yet here. So, you know, for next year, if I'm in the championship hunt at the end of next year, you know, we want all the data we can get from these races.
You're having a couple new teammates next year, Romain Grosjean and potentially somebody up from Indy Lights. What have you seen from Romain's rookie year, and are you excited to have him as a teammate next year?
Yeah, you know, I think he's proven, right? He made it to Formula One. He's a very fast driver. He's had a few podiums this year. You know, I think it'll be a good combination. We can all help each other in a lot of ways. Seems like a very fast driver. And he's shown speed at a lot of different types of tracks this year, street course, road courses, and even wasn't too bad for his first oval. So it'd be cool. Excited for it.
Did you get to race near him at all on the Oval Gateway? What did you see from him out there, if you did?
I didn't. No, I didn't. I don't think I saw him once. I think, like, because we were in the lead, but there were so many yellows, we never really caught people and tried to pass through the pack. I didn't see him at all.
All right, well, I tried with that one. So, obviously, you've only got a couple races left, and your 2022 is set. Now 2023, we're hearing all these crazy rumors about you in Formula One. Is that an aspiration of yours? Is to, you know, if it happened, would you be excited, or are you focused solely on IndyCar?
Well, I mean, I have a 2-year deal.
Okay, so you're through 2023.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've heard the rumblings and read from what you posted and what racers posted before too. So. Yeah, I mean, I'm not really too concerned about it. If the opportunity comes up where I get the chance to do it, I have to have a good think about it. You know, I think for me, I really love IndyCar. But I also want to drive a lot of different types of race cars. And for Formula One, you have to be young, so you have to try to get in as soon as possible. But, you know, I think my love for IndyCar is beyond everything else.
Well, I'm glad you read what we wrote. Because that was very late at night when I got that text message. But anyway.
A bunch of tags and stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, well, best of luck the rest of the year, man, and hope you can pull out a win or two.
Thank you.
Joined now by Kyle Kirkwood. Kyle, qualifying, you stuck behind a couple HMD guys for the race tomorrow, but how'd you feel qualifying went overall?
I think we kind of just missed it there in qualifying. We were decent in the practices and in the test session, but that time... I'm not really sure what happened, to be honest. I think the track changed from the ARCA cars going out there, and we threw some changes at it. I think it kind of went the opposite direction that we were expecting it to. But no, I mean, we just kind of got to go back to our baseline and know that we've got something that's pretty decent for the race.
So
I think we're really good on old tires, to be honest, compared to what we've been seeing from them. Where we only fall off a few tenths, they fall off a lot more than us. So I think our race car is really good.
So the ARCA cars and whatever tires they run, is it Goodyear?
I have no idea.
We're going to pretend it's Goodyear.
Yeah.
Does it impact the car more than you expected?
No, it's not really the rubber. It's just them going off track.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
They are dropping oil. Yeah, the tire does some of it, but it's mostly because they just keep pulling dirt and pulling oil on the track is the main issue. But that's just normal for NASCAR and I guess any of the bigger, heavier sports cars.
We'll wrap it up with one more here so you can get ready for tomorrow. You're a handful of points back in the championship battle, but it's essentially tied with, you know, this weekend, and then Mid-Ohio is your other weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So you've got, you know, just 2 weekends left.
Yep.
Are you feeling any extra pressure or pretty calm going into, at least into this weekend in Portland?
It's not any more pressure. Like, I'm pretty confident with what I can do out there. But, I mean, starting off the weekend like this with P5 and qualifying, which is one of our worst ones. The last time I think we qualified that far back, I think, was at Barber. It doesn't help, obviously. But, no, like I said, I think we've got a good race car. We showed that in practice. So that gives me a little bit more confidence for the weekend.
Awesome, man. Well, best of luck.
Cool. Thank you.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age, because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run, where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.